Nalagaja dun earring, shas of Samala, shli scalva. Huh? Know what that means? No. Neither did I when I was little. You see, I grew up as an immigrant in a bilingual household. In the house, we spoke Irish, and so as a little one, that was my native tongue, and it was only outside that we spoke English. Until I went to school, and I was outside, and then the Irish was knocked clear out of my head, literally. It was Catholic school in the 1950s. So anyway, I do remember some phrases now. I'm pretty fluent now. I've gained it back. But there was this one phrase I remember growing up, and it was Nala Gaja Dun Iring Shasav Samala Shli Skelva. And my parents always said that when I was regaling them with the story of my day at school. They would interrupt me. And they would say, and smile. Well, they kept Irish as their secret language. You know, parents have to have a secret language to survive their children. My husband and I speak French, me very badly. But then the kids became fluent in French, and so we just don't talk to each other anymore. But there were things you need to keep secret, like talking about money or about politics, maybe. Certainly sex. And when I grew up and my husband and I are speaking my bad French, I didn't want to keep Iron secret from my family, from my girls. I didn't want them to think of my family, my cousins, my aunts, my uncles, the place that I spent my summers, I didn't want them to be estranged by it. So we saved our frequent flyer miles and we headed across. Well, we went all over the place. Every place we stopped, it was in the summertime, every place. Oh, it's hot outside. Wouldn't you like a cup of tea? Hot tea, of course, scalding hot tea. And there were cousins here, there were cousins there, there were cousins there, there were cousins, 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 all in this huge smile across the country. I've never been up north. I don't have anyone there. My father says, why would you go? And we're finally at the end of our trip. And we're on the farm called Ballynamuck, my cousin Pat's farm. Now, Ballynamuck means place of the pig in Irish. It was a dairy farm. We Irish are known for being a little contrary. So we're on Ballynamuck, and my cousin Pat is taking my little Leah, my youngest daughter, out to see his prized possession, the herd. And Leah's just about 10 years old at that time. And my cousin Pat, he's this long, lanky galoot. He's a man of few words, like a farmer anywhere you find in the world. And one of those strange senses of rural humor. And we're walking out on this land. And I am walking on this land that my family, this branch of my family, has raised cows on for 300 years. We didn't own it until 1928. We Irish weren't allowed to own land in our own country until we gained independence, but we were there. And so I'm walking out on this road, and Cousin Pat is walking ahead, and there's Leah dancing along beside him, just looking up at him, totally delighted with him. We get to the far end of the field. We go through into the pasture, and I'm drinking in the sense of history, of belonging, of family, and all those romantic notions we get in America. And we go through, and we're in this pasture, and all of a sudden we're surrounded by 40 cows. Now, Holsteins are pretty big. In fact, they weigh about a half a ton. Each one of them was bigger than my husband's sports car. And there's my little Leah trying to get as close as she can to pat one, and she's just about as high as a ribeye steak. So I pull out that maternal hip check and keep knocking her out of the way of those heavy hooves. But no worries, because the cows just have eyes for their hero, my cousin Pat. And they follow him like sunflowers follow the sun. And so I get to think again of the great evening, the twilight, the gloaming, the sound of the Blackford. Hundreds, thousands of years, history, roots. When all of a sudden, the quiet is broken by an angry bellow.
Pat? What's that?
Oh, not to worry. It's just the young bull calling a challenge to the old.
Pat, should you separate them?
Already done. The young one's in the fire field. The master's here.
Oh, how could I have missed it? About 10-15 feet in front of me, there is this big black behemoth. Its head is big as three bowling balls stuck together, horns out to here like an angry German soprano, and it's staring right at me. Well, I spent half my life on the New York City subway, and I know you never let them see you're scared, so I locked eyes. Got Leah in a hammerlock, another maternal move. I said, Pat, what's that chain dangling from his nose?
Oh, that's in case he charges. You just grab the chain. He'll come along sweet as a babby.
Oh, you frighten me, Miss Subways. Grab the chain on a running bull? I don't think so. So I get Leah and I start scooching over to the gate. All the while, I've got my eyes locked on his. And it's just starting to paw the ground when my cousin Pat says,
mind you don't stare, he takes it a challenge.
So we're out through the gate, and it's latched behind us before the creature really gets enough momentum up to move, and I'm safe again. We're safe. We're walking on the road, back through the fields, back up to the farmhouse. And the strange thing about any journey is that on the way back, you always notice things that you didn't see on the way out. And so, as we pass the barn, I notice there's a wooden pen on the outside of the barn, and then there's this door, and kind of like a giant cat door. And so the animals can go in and out at will, and there are three creatures in it. They're pigs. And there are two spotted and one brown. And I say, Pat, that brown pig, it's got a wooden leg. Why?
Oh, that pig. That's one fine pig. That's one smart pig. Well, you know, a couple of years ago, we had a fire in the barn. The whole thing was ablaze. We got all the animals out, save one. And when everything had died down, and I went back inside among the embers, there's a pile of smoking horse blankets. I lifted it up and dug himself a ditch underneath it. Is that pig keeping himself safe, saved his own life. That's one smart pig. Oh, I said, wow, that's a great pig. Is that when he got the wooden leg? Oh, that pig is one amazing pig. That pig,
he's very handy. You wouldn't think a pig would be handy, but this one is very handy. One time, it's about a year ago, Ellen, my wife, and I were in our bed, and we're watching the telly like you do before you turn out the light, and the telephone rings, and it's Father Michael from down at St. Mary's in Garvintown. He says to me, the cheeky devil, he says, Pat, where's your herd? I say, well, they're in the barn. He says, oh, you think so, do you? Then what am I looking at through me window as they go up and down on the steps of the church? Do you think your cows are there to say a novena? Well, Helen and I, we're lickety-split into the car down into Garvintown, and sure enough, there in the cobblestone center of the village, in the church, and there are those cows, all 40 of them, all up and down on the steps of the church. And there's that pig, keeping them all together, neat and tidy like. Wow, that's a handy pig. You could make a movie about that. But what about that wooden leg?
Oh, that pig. That pig is a hero. That pig
Well, I got to tell you, several months ago, Helen and I, we went into Cork City to do messages, that's do errands to you Americans. And so we're in Cork City, and we leave the farm in the charge of the hired man. He's walking through the barn when he has a heart attack. Falls down right there in the middle of the barn. That pig. He digs his way out of his pen. He checks and smells the man, tells something's wrong. He runs out of the barn, down on his piggy legs, down to the street. He's not Lassie, he can't bark like a dog. So he lies down in the road like a speed bump, stops the first car, saves that man's life. Wow, that's one fine pig. Is that when he got the wooden leg?
Oh, pig like that. You wouldn't eat them all at once.
And then my cousin Pat, he says to me, he says something that helps me understand my parents and the Irish a little bit better. He says, now mind, everything I just told you, well, 98% of what I just told you is completely scripturally true, just didn't all happen to the same beast. But nalikaja dan iring shasiv samalashli skelva. Never let the truth stand in the way of a good story. Got a maggot, thank you.